Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Mem Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur from the top of Daf Mem Aleph. You'll notice a triangle around Rabbi Zera. This marking started back on Daf Mem Amud Beis, where we want to show there's a series of comments made by Rabbi Zera. The truth is that they're not all directly related to one another, but they, nevertheless, you can see by the vav that appears at the beginning of this comment, V'omar Bizera, there is an attempt to keep a type of connection, at least by way of names. So the sukkah that we will be looking at right now is featured under our topic heading, the nosei that you see in the margin of the Gemara, where we've written Hameniach Yodov Keneged Ponov Shelmata, one who places his hands. And we're talking about a situation where a person is going to immerse himself in a mikveh, he's going to be toivel, and he is obviously unclothed. And we're going to discuss the issue of placing one's hands at that part of one's body. We will now turn to the Gemara. The Omer Rabbi Zera, Ano Chazisei the Rabbi Avo, I noticed Rabbi Avo Shiniach Yodov Keneged Ponov Shel Mata. Ponov Shel Mata literally is the face of the bottom. It's a euphemism referring to the male organ. And he says, I saw him placing his hands at that part of his body, V'lo Yodana Inoga Ilonoga. And I don't know whether he actually touched it or not. And as we'll see in the Gemara, that touching that organ is not something that the halacha looks at kindly, because there is always a fear that contact will create a sense of warmth or friction, and that could lead to a male emission, which is something that is reprehensible as far as halacha is concerned. Any emission outside the context of reproduction is something that is highly disdained. So the Gemara goes on and says, as far as Rabbi Zera's doubt, I don't know if he touched it or not, the Gemara says, what kind of doubt might you have? Pshita delo noga, it's obvious he didn't have contact with it. Tisanya, the Tanaic source, as you can see, appears in a frame. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Kola Oiches Ba'amo Umashtin, anyone who holds Amo is a term referring to that organ. If one holds the organ and urinates, Ki'ilu Mevi Mabul Loilam, it is viewed as bringing a flood to the world. By way of the analogy here, or the reference to the flood, is that in the time of the flood of the years ago, at the time of Noach, when the world was flooded, the population was guilty, among other things, of having behaved in such a way where they where males caused their own emission to take place. And that is Kihishkus Kolbosar is Darkoi, the Posuk says. And therefore, we say that one who holds the organ, and that could bring on a release, it's tantamount to bringing a flood to the world. So, of course, Rabbi Avo didn't touch it. Omar Abaye. Abaye explains that the case with Rabbi Avo, where there is room for doubt, maybe he did touch it, Asa'uha Keboileshes. The circumstances surrounding Rabbi Avo were like the circumstances concerning a boleshes. This is an army, an armed invasion of an area, of a community, which brings on fear to the population. And when there is fear, so then there is no real concern or or suspicion that a release will take place. This will become clearer as we go on in the Gemara. Now, the idea of boleshes, an invasion, the time of invasion is a time at which people's minds are strictly on defending themselves or saving themselves or dealing with. The invasion is illustrated in the following halacha, not related to the issue of male emissions, but there is a certain common idea that we will be working with. Tisnan, boleshes shenichnas ha'ir, an invading party comes into town. B'shas shalom, if the invasion or the military party enters town at the time of peace, in other words, not in the context of an actual invasion or armed effort, but rather a boleshes enters a city and they're not involved with combat, that's b'shas shalom. So this source will deal with the issue of yayin nesech. Yayin nesech is a situation where an idol worshiper fiddles with the wine that is in the community. So chovios psuchos asuros, stumos mutoros, open barrels of wine, of kosher, of Jewish wine, are rendered forbidden, because we're afraid that the boleshes, this army troop that comes into town, and they're not involved in combat, they will stir the open barrels of wine, causing it to become yayin nesech. Yayin nesech is the stirring of wine done on the part of an idol worshiper, which is an act that he does in service of his idols. So the open barrels are rendered unfit. Stumos mutaros, the sealed barrels, remain allowed, remain kosher. Bishas milchomo, and this is really what we have to focus on at the time of combat, elu v'elu mutaros, both the sealed and the open ones, and we should emphasize even the open barrels of wine remain mutar l'fish ein p'nai l'nasech, because at the time of combat there isn't time for them to fiddle around with the wine. Alma, what do we see from here? Kivan de Ba'isi, since there is fear, the combatants are concerned with their combat and fear of losing their lives, so lo menaschi, they're not going to engage in some other activity. They're not going to engage in stirring the wine. Hachinami, so too with Rabbi Avo, Kivan de Bois, since he was in a state of fear, lo osi l'ruhuri, he won't come to have thoughts that will generate, we'll say thoughts combined with contact with the organ would bring on an emission. So he might have contact with the organ, but since he is boyish, he is in a sense a state of fear, so he won't have thoughts, and hence there is a possibility he had contact with the organ. The Gemara asks, "Vahocha mai biatusa?" What was the fear on the part of Rabbi Avo? Answer: biatusa dinahara, fear of falling into the river. Apparently he was relieving himself when he was by a riverside, and that fear would be the basis of thinking maybe he had contact without any chashash of hoitzoas zera. The Gemara asks, Eini, if he was by the river, why would he be covering, why would he be putting his hand near the organ? Anyone who covers his organ is tantamount to denying the covenant of Avraham Avinu. The point being is that covering the organ gives the impression that a person is embarrassed to be seen as having been circumcised, and therefore one would not cover himself. So once again, what was Rabbi Avo covering him? What were his hands doing over there? Lo kashya, ha ki nochis, ha ki solik. If one is nochis, is going down toward the river, and his back is toward the people, so then it is usur to cover oneself. And that's what Rav's halacha was just referring to. Ha kisolik. However, if one is arising from the river, let us say a person immersed himself in the river, he went to toivel in the river, and he's now walking back toward the people, and he's exposed. So then, out of an act of out of a sense of modesty, so a person would cover himself. Kiha de Rava Shachi, Rabbi Zera Zokif. Rava, when he was going to immerse himself, that's when he was coming away from immersing himself. So he would bend over. Rabbi Zera, Rashi says, Rabbi Zera Zokif the Chayish Lidarav Shelo Yira Kekoifer. Rabbi Zera walked straight because he was concerned with what Rav taught. Rabbonon debei Rav Ashi ki ko nachti zakfi. The Rabbonon of the Yeshiva of Rav Ashi, when they would go down to immerse themselves, they would walk straight, erect. The ki ko salki, when they came out of the water and they're walking toward the people, shochi, they would be bent over. As bent over in a sense of modesty. They're not allowing themselves to be fully exposed. So with this, we then conclude the section dealing with Rabbi Zera and his noting that Rabbi Avo had his hands covering the lower part of his body, and he expressed his doubt whether he actually touched the organ or not. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Zera haviko mishtamit mida Rav Yehuda. Rabbi Zera was avoiding meeting up with Rav Yehuda, the boy lemesak liara di Israel. Rabbi Zera has had an intention, was planning, and he eventually did, in fact, go to Eretz Yisrael, rise to ascend to Eretz Yisrael. Now, if you'll ask, why was he trying to avoid Rav Yehuda? That's explained in the bracketed section. But initially, let's skip the bracketed section. Omar, so we know that Rabbi Zera was planning to go to Eretz Yisrael. Omar, we notice how we skipped the bracketed section. He says, Rabbi Zera says, Ezel ve'eshma minei milsa. I am going to go hear some Torah learning from Rabbi Yehuda. The AC, the Isaac, and then I will come and go on my trip. Ozal Ashkiche Dekoi Beboni. Rabbi Zera went and found Rabbi Yehuda by a bathhouse. The Komerle Leshameh, and he tells his servant, and he finds Rabbi Yehuda telling his servant a number of things. And we'll get back to this later because we did skip a bracketed section and we'll now read through the Gemara straight. So as we said, Rabbi Zera was avoiding Rav Yehuda because Rabbi Zera wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. In the brackets, the Omar Rav Yehuda, this is now explaining why Rabbi Zera was avoiding Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda held to the contrary. Anyone who ascends from Bovel to Eretz Yisrael, one who leaves Bovel to settle in Eretz Yisrael, is in violation of a positive command. Shenemar Bovelo Yuvou Veshomo Yiyu. The Posuk says that the Jews were exiled to Bovel, and there they shall remain, of course, until the ultimate redemption. Rashi adds, very importantly, based on the Gemara in Ksubos, where this is cited in a more elaborate fashion, Rabbi Zera, noticing this posuk in Yirmiyahu, felt that it doesn't refer to the Jewish exile, but rather is a reference to the vessels of the Beis Hamikdash that were exiled, that were taken away in the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, taken to Bavel, and there they were to remain. So Rabbi Zera didn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda on this issue of leaving Bavel. Omar, Rabbi Zera says, Ezel ve'eshma minei milsa. I'm going to go, I want to hear something from Rabbi Yehuda, ve'esi ve'esik, and then I'll go on my trip to Eretz Yisrael. Ozal ashkechei dekoi beboni. Rabbi Zera went and found Rabbi Yehuda by a bathhouse. Ve'komale l'shamein, Rabbi Yehuda was telling his servant three things. Number one, heviuli neser, heviuli masreik. Neser is what we would say, would call today soap. So bring me the neser and bring me a comb. Number two, Pashu Pishu Pumaihu Vi Apiku Hevla. When you're going into the bathhouse, so open your mouths so that the internal body heat exits. Fi'ashtu mimayo debe boni, and drink from the water of the bathhouse. Omar, Rabbi Zera said, Il mole bosi elo lishmoa davar ze dai. If I had come only to hear this, if I didn't come to hear anything other than what I just heard, that's enough. Now the Gemara explains. Bishlamo haviu neser viu masreik. Upon hearing Rav Yehuda say, bring me the soap, bring me the comb, kol mashmalon, we can learn from this, dvorim shelchol mutar lomer b'loshon kodesh. This ties into the Gemara that we learned on Daf Mem, that matters that are of a mundane nature, that's dvorim shelchol, like bring me soap, bring me my comb, mutar lomron b'loshon kodesh. It's mutar to say them in loshon kodesh. Loshon kodesh is Hebrew. What's very interesting to note, parenthetically, is that that Rav Yehuda was speaking to his servant in Hebrew. One ordinarily thinks of them conversing in another language, unless. And we'll leave open the possibility that maybe Aramaic is treated as Lashon HaKodesh as well, but that I would tend to think is not the actual pshat. So if the other possibility is, as we said, that they were that he was speaking in Hebrew, which I think is quite interesting to note. Number two, Pishu Pumaihu V'Apiku Hevla. The open your mouths and have the body heat or body air exit. Nami, this too is of importance. Kiddush Shmuel, based on Shmuel's teaching, Domar Shmuel, Hevla Mapik Hevla. Heat causes the exit of heat. In other words, the heat of the bathhouse that goes into the mouth is Mapik Hevla, causes the sweat, the heat to come out of the body. Ela. Ashtu Maya Debe Boni, my Mal Yusa, what about this drinking of the water of the bathhouse? What's the positive benefit? What's the benefit in that? Desanya, the Gemara, answers. And we used a long answer marking simply to illustrate that the Tanaic source that we're about to learn contains the answer to what we have. And it goes, this long answer marking, which is to the immediate right-hand side of Gemara text, the tuff that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, goes till the Mishnah. Tesanya, Ocha v'lo shasa. Here we have what we noted before in our topic heading. These are Eitzos v'achilo v'anhoga b'merchotz. These are different pieces of advice regarding food, eating, and behavior in a bathhouse. So the source says, Ocha v'lo shasa, a person who eats and doesn't drink, Achiloso dam vizeo tchilas chole meaim. His eating is like blood. In other words, he's asking for trouble, and that's the beginning of digestive ailments. Ochal v'loholach arba amos. If a person, let us say, eats and immediately upon eating he reclines and he lies down instead of finishing his meal and walking at least 4 amos. So anyone who finishes eating and doesn't walk 4 amos, achilasum rakeves. The food in his system will not digest properly. It won't, and it will rot, become what Rashi calls zevel, garbage. Vezeo tchilas reach ra, and that's the beginning of bad breath. Hanitzrach linikovov, the ochal, a person who needs to relieve himself and doesn't do so, but rather eats. Doimelatanu shisiku algavi efro. That's the analogy to that. It's like heating up or firing up an oven with all the residue ash left inside. Vezeo tchilas reach zuama, and that's the beginning of a. Another type of called body odor. Rashi says, "Ruach reach zuma kol gufo mezuam bezeo tomid." That's the way that it creates a constant sweating, which could be explained or translated into body odor. naturally an oven if you want to get maximum benefit from it, so you want to clear out all the residue ash. But if one eats one at a point that he has to relieve himself, so he won't get full benefit from the food that he is eating. Rochatz b'chamin v'lo shosa mehem, and here we've dashed, underlined this. This is the main point of why we're bringing in the source. One who bathed in hot water and didn't drink from it. Doima l'tanur shisiku mibachutz v'lo isiku mibifnim. It's like a tanur that was fired up from the outside and not fired up from within. Rashi says she'eno meitiv l'klum. There is no benefit in it. The reference here to the analogy drawn to the tanur might very well be the case of a clay oven that is, in order to form it, one puts it in a kiln, and here the exterior was fired up and not the interior, and hence it won't exist as a strong, solid oven. Rochatz b'chamin v'lenshtati b'tzon, person who bathed in hot water and didn't take a cold shower afterwards. Doyme lebarzel shechnisu l'ur v'lo yechnisu l'tzonein. It's like in the manufacture of iron, a person who put the iron into the fire for forging it and didn't follow with the necessary next step of putting the heated up iron into cold water. The rapid change of temperature strengthens the iron. It's called, and we'll see this in the upcoming sugya, it's called mitzaref. And if one, as the source says, bathes and in warm water and doesn't wash himself off afterwards in cold water, so he's not going to get maximum benefit from what he could have received otherwise through his bathing. Rochatz v'lo soch, a person who bathes and doesn't smear himself with oils, doime l'mayim al gabi chovis. It's like pouring water on the outside of a jar. Rashi says, l'mayim al gabi chovis al shulav v'stodav she'enom nichnosim l'soichoy. It doesn't, the water doesn't enter it, and therefore, you can see from here a number of different pieces of helpful advice. And as we said, we wanted specifically to see the reference to Rochatz b'chamin v'lo shosa mehen. We now continue with the Mishnah. On the side of the Gemara, we've noted that under our Nosei Mivneh heading, in the Gemara itself, there are diamonds that will appear. And we've written on the side, under the Nosei Mivneh heading, Moliar v'Antichi. Kelim l'chimu mayim. These are two different kinds of vessels designed for heating up water. Aim mo'il bohem ligroif es hagecholim. We're dealing, of course, with drinking the water that was heated up in these vessels. Does the scraping away of the coals that we learned at the beginning of the perek regarding a kira that was fired up with Gefes and Eitzim in order to allow its use on Shabbos, one would have had to do Goruf or Kotum. So now the source. Moliar ha-Goruf, Shosin he-menu b'Shabbos. A moliar is a unit that is designed for boiling up water, and it has a compartment for the water, and on the side it has a pocket in which coals were placed, and the coals heated up the water that was next to it in the larger water compartment. So a moliar whose coals were scraped out, were removed, one can benefit from the water in the moliar device. The main point here, and Rashi brings it out, is that you're dealing with something that's not moisiv hevel. There's no heat increase. Once the coals are cleared out of the moliar, the water's warmth is preserved, but there's no increase of heat. Rashi, shoysin Mimeimov, Bishabas, one can drink the water from the moliar that was scraped out of coals Erev Shabbos. V'yafalpi shehuchmu k'tzas machmas akli, even though the waters are heated a bit by the vessel, l'fi she'eno moisiv hevel, there's no increase of heat, elo mishamim rekaim choyim shalem, all that it does is it preserves the heat that was there originally. Shelo yitstanenu, so that the water doesn't cool off. B'gemor meforish, moliar, the Gemara will explain that a moliar is a case of mayim mibifnim v'gecholim mibachutz. Water on the inside and coals on the outside, which means kli sheyesh bo beis kibul katan etzel dofno mibachutz, a vessel that has a type of small pocket on its outside that's mechuberlo, that's attached to it, v'nosin sham gecholim, in this small pocket coals are placed, v'hamayim bekibul hagodol, and the water in the larger area of the vessel, so the smaller base kibul, the smaller receptacle area has coals, and the larger receptacle area has the water in it. We continue in the Gemara. Antichi, this is the name of another vessel, afalpi shegrufa ein sheisin hemeno, even though the coals were scraped out, one is not allowed to drink from the water, to take from that water on Shabbos. This vessel should not be used. And here the problem is, it's moisiv hevel. There's such an intense heat level that imposed on this vessel that the water there's an increase in heat level taking place through Shabbos, even though the coals have been removed. The Gemara, Heshi Domi Moliar Hagorof. What is the moliar? Now, we explained it based on having learned the Rashi, but Rashi, of course, took it from the Gemara. Tana, mayim mibifnim v'gecholim mibachutz. The water is in the main compartment, and the gecholim, the coals, are stored in an outside, smaller compartment that's attached to the vessel. Antichi. Now, as far as what an antichi is, there are two explanations. Number one, Rabo Omar Beikiri. Beikiri is similar to the kiro that we've learned in the past. It's a double compartment vessel, two equal, we'll say equal size compartments, and a very thick wall between them. There is water kept on one side and coals in the other. And the Rashi explains that this vessel was kept heated up all week, so that the thick wall between the two compartments had a high heat level, and therefore it was moisiv hevel in the water. There was a heat that was generated throughout Shabbos in the water, even though there are no coals that are there anymore. So Beikiri is a side-by-side setup, and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Omar Bei Dudi. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok says the Antichi is Bei Dudi, is a double-bottom vessel, meaning it has an upper chamber in which the water is stored, and beneath the water there is a chamber for coals. Man de Omar Bei Dudi, the one who says that the Antichi, which is not to be used on Shabbos, is the Bei Dudi, the double bottom kli, then Kol Shekein Bei Kiri, then all the more so the Bei Kiri would be forbidden. The simple issue is which generates more heat. So the Gemara is pointing out that the Bei Kiri generates more heat. So that if you're telling me that the Bei Dudi is forbidden, so certainly the Bei Kiri will be forbidden. Uman Diomar Bei Kiri, the one who describes the Antichi as Bei Kiri, Avol Bei Dudi lo. But the Bei Dudi, the double bottom type utensil, won't be forbidden. Tanyo Kavosei de Rav Nachman. Here we have a Tanaic source that describes the Antichi in the way Rav Nachman described it. And just to point out that this basically leads to a greater stringency. Because if you're saying that the antifi, which is forbidden to be used on Shabbos, as the Mishnah says, even if it's grufa, you can't drink from it, and you're going to tell me that that is the lesser heat-generating unit, the Bei Dudi, so all the more so a Bei Kiri. So the Tanaic source says, the antifi afa pisha grufa ktuma ein shosin hemeno. Even though the antifi has been scraped out of its coals, you cannot drink from it on Shabbos. Mipnei shenechushta mechamimosa. The word nechushta means its bottom. In other words, the bottom of the water receptacle area, which was positioned right above the coals, that bottom is imposing increased heat into the water, and therefore it's forbidden to be used on Shabbos. These are concepts that we've seen in the past in the context of Hatmona, for example, where Hatmona b'dover ha-moisif hevel is forbidden. So we see an application of this concept of moisif hevel over here with regard to the antichi. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have another Mishnah, and we also have some introductory remarks under our Nosei heading, where we've written, Hoisafos mayim korim lemecham, the adding of cold water to a water heating unit. We'll describe, the Gemara will touch on Sheshafchu es meimov, pouring water into a mecham, Hoisafos mayim korim, that's pouring cold water into mecham that was just emptied out of its hot water content. And another issue will be shepinuhu me'al gabi ho'esh, the pouring of cold water into a mecham that was removed from the fire, but it still has water in it. Structurally, we will notice after the Gemara asks my ko'omar, the Gemara, after reading the Mishnah, you'll see that the Mishnah is hard to understand just by merely translating it. And to answer what does the Mishnah mean, we'll have bow ties around Rav Ado bar Matano here at the bottom of our Omid, second line from the bottom. And he represents the first approach to reading the Mishnah. And on Omid Beis, four lines from the top, you'll notice Abaye is featured with a second bow tie. He is the second approach in how to understand this Mishnah. So now the Mishnah. Hamecham shepineu lo yitein l'soichoi tzonein b'shvil shiyichamu. A mecham that was cleared out or removed. One shall not put cold water in it for it to become heated up. Aval noisein hu l'soichoi o l'socha kois kidei lahafshiron. But one is to put into it or into a cup in order to have shiran, to remove the chill. Now this is very hard to understand. Rashi, the Gemara asks, my koma, what is this talking about? So, and Rashi explains all of the problems that we have here. First of all, my pineu, what does it mean, cleared away? And what does the Mishnah mean when it says lo yitain, and then it says avon no sein? The Gemara continues with, as we said, two approaches. Number one, Omar Rav Ado bar Matana hochi komar. What we've done with our markings, and we do this throughout the Shas, is that when the Gemara rereads the Mishnah, we treat it as a Tanaic source, and hence you can see a frame around this rereading. Hamecham shepino mimenu mayim chamin. A mecham, and as we may have mentioned before, the mecham is a water heater, a device used for, we'll call it a kettle. It could be a kettle or a pot. Shepino mimenu mayim chamin, the hot water content was removed from it. Lo yitein l'soichoi mayim mu'otem kideshi chamu, do not place on Shabbos a little bit of cold water into it. Now, if, as everyone can imagine, if you have a hot kettle and you put a little bit of cold water in it, that little bit of cold water will absorb the heat and itself become hot. So one is not to do that on Shabbos. That in effect is, you're in effect cooking the small amount of cold water that you just put into it. Avol noisei l'soifei mayim merubim kedei lahafshiron. However, one is allowed to pour into this kettle that you just emptied out of its hot water content. You can pour into it cold water in order to remove the chill from the cold water. In other words, since it's a large amount of cold water, it's not going to reach a level of yad soledisbo. It won't reach the level that we learned in our previous year, which is the level that is defined as the cooking level. And therefore, it would be okay. The Gemara asks at the top of Amud Beis, nevertheless, how can you do that? How can you have a vessel that's quite hot, you just poured out the hot water from it, and then pour in a large amount of cold water, v'halo mitzaref? Is that not a problem of mitzaref? Rashi explains, v'halo mitzaref, kishekli matchis kacham, when you have a metal utensil that's hot, the noisim l'soichetzoinim, and then you pour all of a sudden cold water into it, mechaskim esakli, that strengthens the vessel. Vezuhi gemar melecha satzorfim, that's the final stage in forming metal utensils. Shirisicha so'ur mefaposo, the korov lishover, the initial exposure to the heat softens it, and it's close to breaking. V'amayim mitzarfin piapuav, and the sudden exposure to the cold water actually strengthens it. It reverses the molten, or called shaky phenomenon of the iron metal vessel that's being made. And as we said, the sudden cold water exposure strengthens it, and one's not allowed to form vessels on Shabbos. So is that not a problem? So how can Rav Ada explain the Mishnah as teaching this procedure? So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Shimon hi, and before we go further in the Gemara, we must take note of the markings. On the side of the Gemara, there are no say Mivneh heading. We will be using, as the Gemara goes on, a double underline to highlight the names of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda. B'machlikas, they are at odds with one another. B'inyin dover she'eno miskaven, where an action results that you did not have intention for. The bo lidei bitui, this comes to expression b'sugyosenu, in our sugya, b'dugmas mecham shiroknuhu mimeimov, in the example of a kettle that was cleared, that was emptied of its hot water. Haim mutter lishpach l'soichim mayim tzoynenim rubim, is it mutter to pour into it a lot of cold water, kedei lehafshiron, in order to remove the chill from the cold water, debo bazman harei hu mitzarif zakli, but at the very same time, the vessel is being strengthened, and that's the last stage in the manufacture of metal vessels. So the Gemara answers, no fear, Rabbi Shimon hi, the top line of the Gemara. Our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Shimon, the Amar Dover Shein Meskavi Mutter, where a result, an outcome that you had no intention for results, that is okay as far as Hilchis Shabbos is concerned. In other words, we have a person that poured cold water into this vessel with the intention of simply removing the chill from the water. The fact that this may strengthen the vessel, so be it. But you didn't have intention for that. And therefore, since we're ascribing the mission to Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that a result, an outcome that you had no intention for is okay, as long as your intention was for something that's acceptable. And all he wanted to do was remove the chill from the water. Maskif lo abaye attacks Reb Ado's approach on a grammar or linguistic basis. He asks, "Midi mecham shepino mimenu mayim katani?" Does it say in the Mishnah a kettle from whom the water was removed? It doesn't say that. Mecham shepine hu katani. It refers to it, the Mishnah says a mecham, a kettle that it itself was removed. In other words, the emphasis is not, as Rav Ada said, on the contents of the mecham being removed, but the kettle itself was removed. Ela Omar Abaye, and you can see this is now the second rereading of the Mishnah. Hochi Koma, thusly the Mishnah is saying, Hamecham Shepinehu, a kettle that was removed from the fire, V'yesh bo mayim chamim, and it has hot water in it, Lo yiteng l'socho mayim u'otim b'shvil shi'chomu, one is not to pour into this kettle that was just removed on Shabbos from the fire. One should not pour into it a small amount of cold water. With the intention being that the cold water will increase, it'll become heated up. That would be in effect a cooking of the cold water. And the chiddush here is that even though the kettle is no longer on the fire proper, it nevertheless is forbidden to add to it cold water. However, one is allowed to pour, assuming there's room, of course, to pour a large amount of cold water into the kettle that has hot water in it, because the large amount of cold water won't get cooked in the hot water that's there, all that will happen is that the chill that's in the cold water will be removed by the fact that it's mixing now with some hot water. Umecham shepino mimenu mayim, as far as a mecham that was emptied of its hot water content altogether, lo yitein l'socho mayim kol ikur, one is not to pour into it water whatsoever, but nei shemetzarif, because that is strengthening it, verb yudahi, and this source is in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda. The Omar Dover Shein Miskavein Osir. Rebbe Yehuda disagrees with Rebbe Shimon and says even if you had no intent for the outcome, as long as the outcome is a forbidden outcome, that is something, it is forbidden to do it. So that even though your intention is to remove the chill from the large amount of cold water by being poured into this empty kettle, but nevertheless, the fact is that the kettle does get is very likely to get strengthened. As we go on in the Gemara, we have two versions, and that's what is noted here under the Mivneh heading. You can see the Aleph and Beis that we have in diamonds represent two Lishonos of a Machlokis between Rav and Shmuel. Omar Rav, lo shonu elo lahafshir. Now, we should note very importantly that according to Rashi, this discussion, this machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, is dealing with a mecham, a kettle whose hot water content was poured out, like Rav Ada mentioned. So Rav says, lo shonu elo lahafshir, avo litzaref oser. It's would be also to pour into it. The heter, we'll say, the heter of pouring into the kettle would be a small amount of water. Let's to be a little more accurate, as we'll see that he pours in enough water that the chill is removed, but not enough that to cause it to be strengthened. Ushmuel Omar filu litzaref nami muter. Pouring in water for strengthening it would also be allowed. The Gemara says, how could that possibly be? Litzaref lechatchila mishori, to pour cold water into a hot metal vessel for strengthening it, would anyone allow that? Elo iitmar hochi itmar. Rather, if anything is to be said, the machlok is Rav and Shmuel, it's to be said thusly. Omar Rav, lo shanu elo shi'ur lahafshir. The emphasis here is not on the intention of having the vessel become strengthened, but rather we're talking about quantities. So Rav says that the heter of pouring cold water is only if the amount is enough to have the chill removed, and that basically means he doesn't fill the vessel till the very brim. Avol shiur letzarif, that is accomplished by filling the vessel to the brim. In other words, in order to achieve the strengthening of the vessel after the hot water was removed, by filling it up completely to the brim, that would strengthen it. So Rav says that you can't pour into it, even if your intention is simply to remove the chill, but you can't pour in a quantity that could strengthen it. Ushmul Omar afilu shiur letzareif mutter. Even a quantity, as long as your intention is not for strengthening, your intention is to remove the chill, even if it's a quantity that would strengthen the vessel, and that would be if you poured the cold water till the top. Nevertheless, mutter, it's okay. And this brings us to the top of Daf Mem Gimel. Top of Mem Beis Omed Aleph. The Gemara asks a question, and you'll notice the question lasts a few lines. We have a long question marking. Lameimra de Shmuel Karebi Shimon Svira Lei. Are you suggesting that Shmuel, in allowing Shiur, Litzarev, enough water to strengthen the metal vessel, would be allowed as long as your intention is simply for removing the chill? That would make Shmuel fall into the camp of Rabbi Shimon. Are we saying that? V'omar Shmuel. But Shmuel has taught a halacha that doesn't reflect Rabbi Shimon's approach to things. What does Shmuel teach? Mechabin v'cheles shel mateches b'rishus harabim v'shvil shelo yozuku bo rabim. One would be allowed to extinguish on Shabbos a hot red piece of metal, what's called a burning piece of metal, that's lying in a street in a public thoroughfare, so that people don't get hurt. Avoloi gacheles shaleitz, but one would not be allowed to extinguish a burning wood coal, even though his intention is to keep the public from getting hurt. The Isalkadait of Sovar law Kerebi Shimon, if it were so that Shmuel holds like Rebbe Shimon, Afilu shall eat Nami. Even the extinguishing of the wood coal should be allowed. After all, his intention is to keep the public from getting hurt. So why does Shmuel say that you're not allowed to do that, to extinguish the wood coal? Before we go further in the Gemara, let's take a look at the Rashi on the top line. Sometimes waste iron is thrown outside. And why is it mutter to extinguish this hot red piece of metal? The lo shayach kibui mochi midoraisa. The concept of, or the malacha, the idea or the action of kibui, of extinguishing, we're here and all over the place. We don't engage in translation. There are legal concepts that we use words to define, but not translate. So that the extinguishing of a metal, of hot red metal, is not called kibui, even though kibui is translated as extinguishing. Nevertheless, there's a legal concept or legal phenomenon that defines kibui, and that is not the case. Kibui is not accomplished when you extinguish metal. Umidirabonan asura, rabbinically, though it is forbidden, where there is a public danger that is present, the rabbis did not impose their rabbinic restriction of extinguishing. Rashi continues, Avolo shalait, the isur doraisa hi, extinguishing burning wood is called kibui, and burning wood coal is, putting it out would be an isur doraisa, v'chayav skila, and that could lead to a capital punishment of stoning. The Rashi goes on to explain that if it's so that Shmuel holds like Rebbe Shimon, then even putting out the wood coal should be allowed. The Rashi says, "Afilu shel eitz nami daha le Rebbe Shimon, melacha sheino tzricha legufa poter aleha." We mentioned in the past, or just before, we mentioned the concept of Dover Sheino Miskaven. There is another concept that's close but not the same. It's called Melacha Sheino Tzricha Legufa. That's where you have an intention for the action, but your intention is not the same as the intended Mishkan purpose, the Melacha as was done in the Mishkan. Here you have an intention for the extinguishing of the coal. However, what is the purpose that you have in mind? Your purpose is to prevent damage, prevent injury. Your intention is not for the making of a coal. So if you have a burning piece of wood, it is true that when you put it out, it becomes a coal. However, your intention is not to make it into a coal. And Rashi goes on to say, V'chol kibui eino tzorich l'gufo, all extinguishing is in effect eino tzorich l'gufo. Gufo means its original purpose. Chutz mi oise pechomim o mehavave psila. The only exception to that is the case of extinguishing for the purpose of making a coal or of singeing a wick. This we discussed at some length in previous Gemara in this Masichta. So, being that you're dealing with preventing a public injury, and Melacha Shein Sricha Legufa, according to Rabbi Shimon, is potter, meaning that it's not a Torah violation, it should be allowed to be done. So why does Shmuel say that you cannot put out a burning piece of wood that's in the Rishos HaRabim? And at the same time, we just saw Shmuel with regard to the pouring of the cold water into the hot metal vessel, he was allowing that. So the Gemara points out that these two concepts, though they are somewhat close, nevertheless, there is a distinction, and Shmuel makes that distinction. B'dovar shein miskaven, sovar lo k'Rabbi Shimon. With regard to dovar shein miskaven, where an action is done, and he doesn't have any intent for the action, it's true that the vessel might become forged, might become hardened, but his intention was for removing the chill from the water. That's the Dover Shein Miskaven. So in that, Shmuel rules like Rabbi Shimon, so like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore he allowed the recently emptied Mecham to have a shiur of water, a shiur mitzarif to be poured in. However, by Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa, where you do have intention for the result, but the intention that you have is not for the same design that it was present in the Mishkan, as is the case with putting out a coal. You do have intention for the extinguishing of the coal. But you don't have intention for it becoming a coal. Or let's be a little more accurate, you have intention for putting out the wood, but not with the purpose of it becoming a coal, but rather the purpose in preventing public injury. Well, with regard to that, Sovar lo k'Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Shmuel holds like Rebbe Yehuda and does not allow it. Once again, because you had a kavona, you had an intention for the malacha to take place, even though with a purpose different than that which was in the Mishkan. Nevertheless, Rebbe Yehuda holds you're not allowed to do it. Omar Ravina, Hilkoch, Koitz, Rishus Rabim. Being that we learned that in the when there is an issue of public danger, and you have a rabbinic violation that confronts you, as is the case here, Hilka Koitz Bishus Rabbim, a thorn in a public thoroughfare. Malicho pochos pochos midalet amos, you are allowed to move it out of the public thoroughfare simply by carrying it each time you walk a few steps, making sure that you walk less than 4 amos each time. Uva Carmelis, in a non-public thoroughfare, a Carmelis is one of the called Rishios de Rabbanon. It's a non-public thoroughfare. It's an unenclosed area, but it's not a public area. Afilu tuva, you can move the kites, the thorn, even more than restricting yourself to 4 amos. In general, carrying something at less than 4 amos of distance each time in a Rishus Rabbim, that is an isur d'rabbanan. But since that's a rabbinic prohibition, but since there is an element of danger involved, so the Rabbanan didn't impose their restriction. Likewise, with regard to a Carmelis, the whole issue of carrying there, even in an unlimited fashion, is only rabbinic. Therefore, you can move the coats as far as you want, because your intention is to keep people from getting hurt, and the Rabbanan, under such circumstances, didn't impose any carrying restrictions. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.